Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Sing with us.
When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, I won't be shaken, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand.
Worshiping with us. We encourage you to sing. Grab your Bible. We're going to be in the book of Deuteronomy in just a little bit, and so encourage you to go ahead and be prepared there for that. Let us know that you're watching by taking your phone out and texting the word welcome to 256-322-6100. It's on your screen. If you'll do that, you'll get a little conversation with me going through text later today. Just love to welcome you. If you're in the room and you're a guest, thank you for being here. This is the first Sunday of fall break. We have multiple school systems around us having their fall break. We're thankful that your break for fall has you right here at home and here with us. And so we're thankful for you being here and worshiping with us. If you're a guest, if you would take a moment to take the worship guide you received when you came in and to tear off the registration and then fill that out, and you can either place it in the offering box when you leave outside the door, or if you want, prefer, you can just hand it to me. I'll be right outside the door. We would love to give you a gift, and then we have something we want to send you in the mail. Now, we're not coming to your house, we promise, unannounced. If you don't want us to, you can ask us to come and we will, but otherwise we're not coming. But we have something we'd like to give you and get to you, so we encourage you to fill that out and let us know that you are here. I want to thank our worship team for leading us. Pastor Don is away, our worship pastor, on vacation, and we're thankful for him and his family and his years of service here, but he is away on vacation, so our praise team is helping us, doing a great job. I was thinking about the music of the praise team. We have one former music teacher, we have a music teacher, we have someone who led worship at our church for many years, someone who's led worship for us multiple times, and then we have you, Stephen. And you.
And there's nothing good to say.
No, Stephen, who's leading us today, Stephen was the worship leader for 7 years before he came to us. And many of you might not know, and I want you to put a name to a face. Stephen is one of our deacons here in our church, but he also serves part-time with us as our media person, meaning if you ever look at it, if it's an image in any shape, form, or fashion, a poster, a graphic on the screen, anything we do, he made that. So the visual part of worship and what we do in communication is all him. In fact, I'll tell you a little funny on him. So I spell check because he's great about stuff. Maybe not spelling, but he's great about stuff. You're good about everything. He had left out one comma last week in the men's breakfast announcement. It's fixed now, but last week it said that we were having hatchet throwing cornhole. Now, I don't know how. That sounds awesome. I mean, that sounds really fun. So, men, you come and be prepared. It's going to be wild. So, well, we fixed it since then. But thank you guys for leading. It really does. We appreciate you. You're going to appreciate the rest of our worship together. As we carry on in worship, let me give you who we're praying for this week. We always pray for a different church every week. Our church of the week is Central Baptist Church here in Albertville over on High Point Road. Pray for Central Baptist. Their pastor, Daniel Wade, their church has a heart for outreach and ministry. They have a wonderful van ministry on Wednesday nights and Sundays. They're active in the community. They're making a difference in our city, and we're thankful for them. So let's pray for them today. Our missionaries of the week are Greg and Zoya. They serve in an undisclosed location and country, but you pray for them. They've been partners with us for a number of years and working with churches that are really secret underground. So you pray for the work there, for what's happening, and for God's provision in all things. We're excited to continue to partner with them as they are making a difference in a very difficult place and seeing multiple people give their lives to the Lord. So we pray for them. We're adding something to our prayer list starting this week. Now that we have a new photo app directory where we are taking, for our regular attenders and members, photos of folks and putting your information in an online form and on our app. Eventually we'll have printed ones. We're waiting for a few more pictures. But because of that, we're going to ask you every week to pray for a different set of families. And starting today, we're going to pray for all those with the last name that starts with the letter A. So you can look in your directory and see those. Right now, there's about 250 families in the directory. We need another 30 or 40 to have it completed. So before the ones that are there, you go ahead and begin to pray for them. And we'll pray for them all week long. How great it will be that we can pick out 8 to 10 families at a time to pray for a week. And so we'll do that together. Let's pray together as we continue. Father God, thank you for the privilege to come and worship you. Thank you for a beautiful fall day. Thank you that, Lord, as I left the house early this morning, it was such a reminder, just immediately feeling the crisp air, that your mercies are new every day. Every day you are at work in our lives. Thank you when I have my own areas of fear and anxiety and worry, just like we sang about, that our fear doesn't stand a chance in your love. There's power that can break off every chain. There's power that emptied out the grave. That same resurrection power is at work in my life. It's at work in the lives of those in this room. It's at work in those who are listening on the radio, participating online. God, thank you for your glorious power at work in us. May we walk in that today. Lord, we take a moment to pray for Central. We pray for Greg and Zoya, and we pray for those all those others, Lord, that we've mentioned. Thank you for that. But God, would you bring revival here? Would you bring revival in this room? Even with the number of people away, and Lord, would you do a work here today in us, in this room? God, my prayer is that you would change us through your word. My prayer is that you would receive glory as we sing songs to you and about you. Jesus Christ is our living hope. And so we celebrate that together now. We sing this to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with us? Let's sing that he is our living hope. Let's lift this in praise together as we worship.
Stronger than dark.
We stood neath a debt we could never afford, but our sins, which are many, His mercy is more. Pray with me. Father God, thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You that when we stare in the face of our own sin, we are reminded that we cannot get to You on our own. We're reminded there is no hope for us but Jesus. Your Son Jesus came and brought new life, and His mercy is more than our sins could ever be. His mercy is stronger than darkness. It is new every day. Thank You for the truth of those words. Lord, speak now as we open Your word, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, if you will, friends, to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 34. That's the fifth book of the Bible if you start from Genesis at the very beginning. Deuteronomy chapter 34. Today is week 6 of our series called Bedtime Bible Stories Revisited. We will go all the way to the last Sunday of this month, so there are 3 more weeks after today. And it's been a great time to stop and look at some children's stories, what we call children's stories, but that's not the case. Nothing in the Bible says they were children's stories. We happen to teach them to children in Sunday school. And because we often teach them in a simple way with great meaning, we sometimes translate that to think that they're simple-minded. They are not. There is so much knowledge, inspiration, and application for every adult who's a follower of Jesus. Last week, we looked at the consistent and profound faith of Moses. And we talked about how you and I can live by faith. And we are called to live by faith. Well, today we're going to take one more look at Moses, and we're going to cover some aspects of his life that are not taught in children's Sunday school, probably weren't necessarily discussed when you sit on the edge of your bed with your children and read a bedtime Bible story to them. So we will start in the New Testament. You can stay in Deuteronomy 34, but let me read a verse to you from the book of Jude. Jude was the half-brother of Jesus. And he became a leader in the church after Jesus' death when he came to understand that his brother was the Messiah. He became a leader in the early church, and he wrote a letter, a small letter, just a small number of verses, one chapter, but he says something in it about Moses, which most pastors just breeze past because we don't really know the context of it or what it means, but it's profound. So listen to what he says in Jude, verse 9. It says, but when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Did you catch that? It says the archangel Michael and Satan were in an argument, a battle over the body of Moses who had died. So why were they arguing over his body? We're not sure, but I will tell you this, even though we don't know for sure, this is not the only unique passage that talks about Moses' death. There's one in Deuteronomy chapter 34 that if we tie these together, it might paint a little better picture. So Deuteronomy 34, beginning in verse 1, it says this, then Moses, he was 120 years old, by the way. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the plain, that is the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. Now, let me stop there for a second. Do you realize this was a supernatural occurrence? God takes Moses to the top of a mountain and says, I'm going to show you the promised land that you're not going to be able to go to, but I want you to see it. But if you were to go to the top of a mountain and try to see all of this at once, guess what? You can't. It's too far. God gives him a supernatural ability to see beyond what would normally be able to see, to have an understanding of what is there. God, in his mercy and kindness and grace, is letting Moses get a picture of the promised land for the Israelites. And then it says this. Verse 4, and the Lord said to him, this is the land which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Now, did you catch that? God supernaturally lets Moses see the promised land and see what is there. But he says, you can't go over there. And there's a reason. We'll talk about it in a moment yourself. But then Moses dies. And another passage tells us that Moses dies with strong eyes and vigor in his steps. What does that mean? That even at 120 years old, it wasn't like he just died of some health condition. It was just time for him to go home to be with the Lord. So Moses dies. And then the scripture tells us, don't miss this, that God himself buries Moses. God buried Moses. I have had the privilege of being a part of hundreds and hundreds of funerals over the last few decades of ministry. And it is an honor to be with the family and stand at the graveside and be a part of seeing someone's body buried and of committing that to the Lord and of celebrating their life. But can you imagine God himself burying someone? That is quite an honor. So could it be, if we tie together Jude and Deuteronomy 34, I don't know, could it be that God did not want the Israelites to make a shrine of Moses' burial site because they would love to do so? And then also the fact that that Satan wanted to take his body and put it in a way that maybe the Israelites would worship that more than God himself. Because here's what we know about the Israelites. They had a habit of being good shrine people in a bad way and also worshiping false gods. So I don't know, but maybe that's one of the reasons God said, I will bury Moses and no one will know the place. We really don't know why. But here's what we are sure of. We are sure of why Moses was not allowed to enter the promised land. And so I want us to talk about that and the consequences of his actions for just a moment. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, back up two chapters from where you are in Deuteronomy 34. Deuteronomy 32, look at verse 51. This is God speaking to Moses. He says, because you broke faith with me in the midst of the people of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, and because you did not treat me as holy in the midst of the people of Israel, for you shall see the land before you, but you shall not go there into the land that I am giving to the people of Israel. Listen, friends, what you do matters to God. Amen? Do you believe that? Why you do what you do matters to God. How you live matters to God. We can sum all that up this way. There are consequences for our actions. There are consequences to our actions. Now, that may seem ridiculously obvious to you that we all know that, but I've got to be honest. Don't we sometimes live like there's not consequences to our actions? I can know there are, but I'll sometimes make decisions like there are not. And so it's important that we understand what Moses did at Meribah Kadesh was a way that he misrepresented God and did not treat him as holy. So what is it that he did that was so bad? Well, the answer to that is found in the book right before Deuteronomy. So back up to Numbers, Numbers chapter 20, and here's the story of what happened. Numbers chapter 20, beginning in verse 2. It says that now there was no water for the congregation. That means Israel didn't have any water. They were out of water again. And they assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, Moses' brother. And the people quarreled with Moses and said, would that we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord. Why have you brought the assembly of the Lord into the wilderness that we should die here, both we and our cattle? Verse 5, and why have you made us come out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is no place for grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, and there's no water to drink. Verse 6, then Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly into the entrance of the tent of meeting, the tabernacle, and they fell on their faces and they began to pray. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Verse 7, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. So you shall bring water out of the rock for them and give drink to the congregation and their cattle. And Moses took the staff from before the Lord as he commanded them. Now remember, this is the second time God has given them water from a rock. The first time, same scenario, they needed to be provided for. They were grumbling and complaining, and God provides water from a rock. He tells Moses, let's do it again. Now look at verse 10. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels.
Shall we bring water for you out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand and he struck the rock with his staff twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their livestock. And the Lord, now listen, think about that, enough water for several hundred thousand people and their animals to get water. So this was a big deal. Water comes flowing, but then look what God says to Moses. Verse 12, and the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. So let's picture the story. The Israelites are grumbling and complaining again. They've grumbled and complained for years and years. They're grumbling and complaining again. Moses and Aaron, honestly, were sick of their attitudes. You get it. You understand it. And so they pray and ask God to provide. And then God tells Moses exactly what he's supposed to do. But let's cut Moses a little bit of slack, because the reality was Moses was irritated. Have you ever been irritated? Anybody, let's just go ahead and confess it. Who in this room says, I have been irritated before? Raise your hand. Put it up high, put it up high. Who in here says, I was irritated this morning? You don't have to raise your hand for that if that's you. But we all understand. But when we get irritated, here's what happens. Don't miss this. This happens in your life every time, and mine if we're not careful. He decides that when Moses is irritated, pride creeps in. When I get irritated, pride creeps in. When you get irritated, pride creeps in. It starts to come in and say, well, we'll just do this. We'll take care of this. And so irritation leads to something bigger. And so Moses does it his way instead of God's way. Mistake number one. And then second, once pride gains a foothold in our life, it is easy to elevate our part in God's world. When you have pride at work in your life, we tend to think we're doing more for God than we are. So what does Moses do? He speaks to the rock and water flows. It's what he's supposed to do, but that's not what he does. Instead, Moses says, you bunch of complaining rebel babies, you want water out of this rock? I'm going to bring water out of this rock. And he smacks the rock. Who does that remind you of? It reminds me of me. I don't know about you. Does it remind you of you at times? Sometimes we'll do that. And who's this we? Listen, we have never done something for God. God does it. God's the miracle worker. He's the chain breaker. He's the one that brings life to you and me. So we've got to be careful when we start taking credit for things that he has done. We know that pride has creeped in. So that's what happens here. So in anger and pride, Moses oversteps the command of God and he claims credit for himself. Now that seems bad enough on his own, but if you listen to some words of Paul that come in 1 Corinthians, you will understand this was significant. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul is talking about Jesus, and he refers to the two times that water flows from a rock in the Exodus, which is what we're reading here. And these are the words that Paul says about it. He refers to the fact that that rock that had the water flowing from it, that was a representation of Jesus. In fact, if you read it in 1 Corinthians 4, Paul literally says the rock was Jesus. That's what he says. So in other words, it's an idea that it points to the cross. It points to a Messiah. It points to the things that we can point to. And we see it over and over in the scripture. But even water flowing from a rock pointed to their provider, their Messiah, their God. And so it was a picture of what God was going to do someday through a Messiah. And Moses messed it all up by striking that rock twice and claiming credit for it himself. So when he misrepresented a picture of God. So what are my thoughts for you and me today? Three things we can learn from this story really, really quickly. First of all, you and I, we are called to be a picture of Christ in this world. You and I are called to be a picture of Christ just like Moses was. You can find over and over where Moses' life was a picture pointing toward Jesus thousands of years later. And you and I now are a picture pointing towards Jesus because of what he's done in our lives. But here's what I know. If pride is at work in your life, then will be a skewed picture. It just will. Every time pride takes over in my life, my picture of Jesus is skewed. It becomes something it shouldn't. So let me ask you, what picture of Jesus are you showing? You may say, nobody's watching me. Yes, they are. Listen, your friends are watching you. Your neighbors are watching you. They saw you get up and they see every Sunday your car's gone from the driveway and they're still at home. They know you go to church. People on your ball team are watching you. The people in your workplace are watching you. The people that work under you, the people that you report to, they're all watching you. Our family members are watching us. Listen, I promise you, people will see Jesus in us every day. The question is, will they see the right picture of him? We were sitting in Cracker Barrel last Monday night, and it was just Lily and myself and Moses, and we were eating, and the table right next to us, they had the tables real close together, and so we were sitting, we were eating, and when the meal was over, we got up to leave, and the man behind us said, excuse me, just one sec, I didn't want to interrupt your meal, but I just want you to know, I appreciate you. And I thought, well, how does he know me? And he said, I live in Fort Payne. And he said, I listen on the radio or we watch online. He may be watching right now. And he says that he watches online, and he says that I just appreciate, and he talked about the ministry for a little bit. And my immediate thought was, oh, I'm so thankful that we can make a difference in someone's life. But really my immediate thought was, did I say anything mean to Moses sitting here at the table? I thought, did I say something I shouldn't have said and this guy heard it? I didn't, by the way. We just talked about pancakes. I don't think I did anyway. But the truth is, you may say, well, that's different. You're the pastor. No. I promise you, you may think you live a life of obscurity, but nothing could be further from the truth. Someone is watching you. There are multiple people that will see Jesus in you on a regular basis. So the question is, which Jesus do we show him? Whatever we do, let's don't show them angry Jesus. Y'all know that Jesus. Let's don't show them Republican Jesus. Let's don't show them Democrat Jesus. Let's don't show them Oprah Winfrey Jesus. You may say, what does that mean? That you just love no matter what, it wins and everything, it doesn't matter. No. Let's show them the real Jesus. So how do we know what the real Jesus is? Well, the Bible's clear. Paul tells us in the New Testament, we get this beautiful verse that says, Jesus came full of grace and full of truth. It does not say he came with a combination of grace and truth. The wording is clear. It's specific. It says he came full of grace and full of truth. You don't have to give up some grace to tell the truth, and you don't have to give up some truth to be gracious. So what we learn from Jesus is we can be full of both of those. So how in the world do we learn to live our lives like that? Well, it starts by reading God's word and investing in it and finding out what he is saying to us and what we're about. Then it moves to living God's word, to living it out and what that means, and learning to live the love of Jesus, allowing the Holy Spirit to do that work in us. And it's always about tamping down the pride in our lives. It is so easy to let pride rule. So friends, I want to encourage you, as I want to really encourage myself, that we need to be, that we are called to be a picture of Christ in the world. Don't let pride or other things skew the picture. The second thing we learn from this story of Moses is this. This is going to be oversimplified, but it's true. Our actions have consequences. Moses did so many things right over 120 years. Did a number of things wrong as well, but he did so many things right. But your actions have consequences. Not only that, doing what we're not supposed to do, it matters at some point in life. But also the opposite, our inactions have consequences. Not doing what we're supposed to do matters in life as well. So my question is, what are you doing that you shouldn't be? That seems oversimplified. It's something different for every person in this room, I'm sure. Whatever that is, listen, there's consequences. Stop and deal with that. What are you not doing that you ought to be? Whatever that is, stop. There are consequences. Deal with that. I know in my own life that it's easy at times to get into a sinful habit or to find yourself angry or mad about something and act in a way you shouldn't or react in a certain way. But then there are those that struggle with ongoing, continual, habitual sin. And I heard someone say it once this way, and I love the way they worded it, that we can sow sinful oats all week long in the soil of our lives and then come to church on Sunday morning and we pray for crop failure. And the truth is, you can pray for crop failure, but that's not how it works. You will reap what you sow. And so it's important that we learn to repent and to seek to live and love as Christ lived and loved. Now, I'm not saying you can't find forgiveness. We're about to get to that in just a moment. But what I am saying is how you live and how I live matters. Remember last week we looked at 10 men out of 12 that said, we don't have enough faith, we're afraid, and because of their lack of faith and the decision they made, several hundred thousand Israelites had to spend an extra 39 and a half years wandering around in the wilderness because of 10 men making a single decision. You understand, your life and your actions matter. My life and my actions matter. How you and I live matters to the kingdom of God. How you and I give of our time, our talents, and our treasures matters to the kingdom of God. How you and I love others matters to the kingdom of God. And so it's important that we love people the way Jesus loved people. We see people the way Jesus sees them. And we begin to live the life the same way. So we're called to be a picture of Christ in this world, no matter who we are. Second, our actions have consequences. And then lastly, we can trust God's grace in us. We can trust God's grace in us, even when we mess up, even when we've disobeyed. We can trust God's grace in us. Now, the word grace does not show up in the Old Testament of your Bible. You won't see that physical word there, but over and over in the Old Testament, we see portraits and pictures of grace. Every time something points forward to Jesus, every time something points forward to the cross, every time we see it, that is showing us a picture of God's grace. And so Moses never entered the promised land during his life. God said, you can't do it because of the way you did not make me holy in this spot and because of the way you disobeyed me here, you're not going to enter the promised land while you're on this earth. But I want you to know and show you a scripture that tells us about God's grace. In God's graciousness, Moses did eventually make it to the promised land. I'm not even just talking about the symbolism of heaven as the promised land. I mean, he made it to the promised land. Think about where it happened. You jump forward 1,500 years. You move through 30 years of Jesus' life. You move through 2.5 years of his ministry. You come toward the end of the time of his ministry. And then you have something that happens on a mountain. We call it the Mount of Transfiguration. And Jesus is transfigured. It says his glory is fully revealed and it seeps out of his body. And so he's glowing and you get this transfiguration of Jesus. And Peter, James, and John, they're there to see this. And there are two people there with Jesus on this mountain in the promised land. Who is it? It is Moses and Elijah. So in God's graciousness, from an eternal perspective, Moses eventually makes it to the physical promised land. Now what's interesting is that Moses is not up there standing around going, this is what it looks like. You know, that's not what he's doing. No. Instead, what's he doing? He is talking and focusing on Jesus. Now, do not miss this. This is so important. The ultimate prize of grace is not heaven, it is Jesus. Amen? The ultimate prize of grace is not the promised land, heaven, it is Jesus. That is our ultimate prize for the grace of God at work in our lives. And even Moses, when he was standing in the promised land after he was already dead and then in his eternal state was standing there with Elijah and with Jesus, he was focused on Jesus. So what can we learn from that? You and I can understand the realization of the grace of God and what he is about. His grace is about Jesus. His grace can save you today. His grace can change you today. His grace can empower you and can transform you today. So I want to encourage you to turn to God's grace. Now, maybe you're like me. You can find yourself letting pride creep up from time to time, or maybe more often. When that happens, you realize you've not always been the best picture of Jesus to your family or the best picture of Jesus to a friend or a loved one or whatever, coworker. Well, you can sit around and sulk and say, that's it, God will never use me. Or you can repent, which just means to change your mind and change your direction and say, God, forgive me. I want to be back on track with you. Let him provide for you the grace he so quickly extends from the Old Testament to the New, the grace of God at work. Allow him to do that in your life. God's not putting you on a shelf. God wants you to be used by him to be a picture, a portrait of his grace. He wants you to be a picture of him at work. So what will you do with what we learned from today's story? Let me sum it up with questions that bring about the same point. Are you representing a beautiful picture of Christ to others? In other words, is it an accurate picture or is it a cartoon? Don't make Jesus into a cartoon. It happens, but don't do it. Oh, show an accurate picture of him. How? Keep tamping down the pride in your life and in mine and asking God to do a work in us to help us live the way we can to be used by him. Second, your actions matter in heaven and on earth. So let me ask you, do you have any actions that you need to repent of or any actions you need to change? If that's the case, come and pray and do so. Maybe, though, it's inaction. There's something God's called you to do, but you've just been waiting for one reason or another. You've not done it, and you know God said to do it. So will you do it? Will you take that step and be ready to do it? And then lastly, will you trust God's grace at work in you? God's grace is at work in you. I can think of times where I feel like I have been on the mountain with the Lord and honored him with my life. And I can think of several times where I feel like I said, oh, I'll show you, and I've struck that rock twice myself. You've probably done the same. If you're currently in a place where you feel like what you've been doing lately is striking that rock because there's been a lot of pride at work in you and maybe you've just been plain irritated in life, listen, the gracious, loving Savior of the world died and came back to life, transformed you so that you can live the life he's called you to. So friends, if that's you, if you've been living a life of irritation, listen, I want to encourage you to come literally and get on your knees and repent and say, God, help me. I don't want to walk in that pride, and I need you to transform me. And then know that the best way he'll do it is through his word and his Holy Spirit. So get into the word of God and begin to live out. Take the next right step in front of you. It's kind of been the theme of this whole series. Whatever the next step is, the scripture shows, take that next right step. I encourage you to come and pray. Maybe for you, though, you realize as you are a picture of the grace of God, you want to represent him well. So maybe you're praying for someone specific to come to know Jesus. Well, maybe you want to come and pray. Maybe you've come down here many times to pray for their salvation. How about today, pray something different? Instead of praying for them to be saved, pray that you will show them a beautiful picture of Jesus and that the Holy Spirit will use them to want that. So in other words, pray for yourself that God will use you in that direction. God wants them to know him. Maybe for you, though, you failed a lot. You're struggling. Maybe it was just this week, or maybe it was last month, or maybe it was 5 years ago, or maybe it's every day for years. I don't know. Whatever the case can be for you, can I say to you today, though, just like for Moses, grace is available for you today. The grace of God is available today. He will bring new life to you, a new start to you. A transformed life to you. Maybe God's calling you to come and unite with our church. We'd love to have you be an official part of what we're doing here together as we seek to impact the kingdom. Maybe you've given your life to Jesus. You want to follow through with believers' baptism. We're baptizing next Sunday morning. So you come make that public. If I can pray for you, whatever God is saying, would you respond to him? Pray with me, please. Father God, I want to show a good picture of you. An accurate picture of you. But sometimes my picture of Jesus has pride skewing it. So I pray that you would chip that away in my life and help me to be reminded of the things that I need to get rid of and the things that need to be transformed by you. Please do that in my life. Lord, I pray the same for every person in this room. And Father, I pray also for those of us in the room who understand that our actions have consequences, and maybe we've struggled with some actions, and so now's the time to repent. And Lord, even though there may be earthly consequences, we're asking that you would allow us to be able to give you glory as we live our lives for you, that your grace would be at work in us. God, please just have your way among the people in this room today. Let us respond as you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand again.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.